Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 324. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Hymn number 324. The scriptural this morning will be given by Wendy from Georgia.
Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Isaiah. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 325. Take up thy cross, the Savior said, if thou wouldst my disciple be. Thyself deny, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Hymn number 325.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin usually every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we had another really good one this morning. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school is available for children anywhere in the world because it has its own teleconference number. So if you have a child of Sunday school age and you don't live in the area, please call us and we'll give you the number. And we'd love to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And among our many websites, we also have a website for children. You can find that. There's a link on our main website to our child's website. It's full of really good stuff. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m. where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives literally saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. And we've been busy printing and mailing. We've printed the new forum highlights this week and put it in the mail to subscribers. And among our many websites, our English website has an article featured on its cover page that I would like to encourage you to read, entitled The New Birth by Mary Baker Eddy. If you've ever wondered what it means to be born again, read this article, The New Birth by Mary Baker Eddy. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Debbie from Illinois.
Page 429. Some of these experiences given in the journal have been so helpful to me, I have been moved to give to its readers a little experience of my own, which occurred when I first began the study of science and health with Key to the Scriptures. I had already been healed of sick headache almost instantly by declaring that I was God's child, and as God is perfect, his child must be perfect also. This had given me great happiness and a quiet, peaceful state of mind I had never known before. My family did not seem to see anything good in Christian Science, but to me it was sacred. One Monday morning I awoke feeling very ill indeed. The morning was warm and sultry. I thought I certainly could not wash that day, but when I went downstairs, I found my daughter had made preparations for such work. I thought, well, if she feels like washing, I shall not say anything. Perhaps I shall get over this. After breakfast, I went about my work, thinking I could lean against the tub and wash with more ease than I could do up the morning work. I tried to treat myself as I had done before, tried to realize that all is mind, there is no matter, that God is all, there is nothing besides him, but all to no purpose. I seemed to grow worse all the time. I did not want my family to know how badly I was feeling, and it was very humiliating to think that I must give up and go to bed. All at once, these questions came to me as though spoken by someone, taking me away from my line of thought entirely. How is God ever present help? How does he know our earnest desires? Then, without waiting for me to think how, the answer came in the same way. God is conscious mind. Instantly the thoughts came, is God conscious of me? Can I be conscious of him? I was healed instantly, every bad feeling was destroyed. I could see that the morning had not changed a particle, but I was oblivious of the weather. It did not seem that I had anything more to do with that washing. It was finished in good season, while I was absent from the body and present with the Lord. That was the beginning of the battle with sin and self, but at the same time, it was the dawning of the resurrection. Since then, over 4 years, I have had many experiences, some of which seem too sacred to share with the world. False literature has caused me much suffering. Sorrow has visited my home, but through all this, the light that came to me on that Monday morning, that new and precious sense of omnipresent life, truth, and love, has never left me one moment. It was the light that cannot be hid. Mrs. H. D. J., Cambridge, Illinois.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 6 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, life. The golden text is from Deuteronomy. Love the Lord thy God, obey his voice, cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. The responsive reading is from Psalms. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds.
Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast.
How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings.
They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures.
For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Proverbs. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Psalms. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. 2 Kings. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived, and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Revelation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Psalms. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We should remember that life is God and that God is omnipotent. The understanding that life is God, Spirit, lengthens our days by strengthening our trust in the deathless reality of life, its almightiness, and immortality. This faith relies upon an understood principle. This principle makes whole the diseased and brings out the enduring and harmonious phases of things. That life is God, Jesus proved by his reappearance after the crucifixion in strict accordance with his scientific statement. Destroy this temple, body, and in 3 days I, Spirit, will raise it up. It is as if he had said, the I, the life, substance, and intelligence of the universe, is not in matter to be destroyed. He knew that matter had no life, and that real life is God. Therefore, he could no more be separated from his spiritual life than God could be extinguished. When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of the Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever present. That the opposite of truth, called error, sin, sickness, disease, death, is the false testimony of false material sense, of mind in matter. That this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. Feeling so perpetually the false consciousness that life inheres in the body, yet remembering that in reality God is our life, we may well tremble in the prospect of those days in which we must say, I have no pleasure in them. Does God send sickness, giving the mother her child for the brief space of a few years, and then taking it away by death? Is God creating anew what he has already created? The scriptures are definite on this point, declaring that his work was finished. Nothing is new to God, and that it was good. Can there be any birth or death for man, the spiritual image and likeness of God? Instead of God sending sickness and death, he destroys them and brings to light immortality. Life is, always has been, and ever will be, independent of matter, for life is God, and man is the idea of God, not formed materially, but spiritually, and not subject to decay and dust. The psalmist said, Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Sickness, sin, and death are not the fruits of life. They are inharmonies which truth destroys. Perfection does not animate imperfection. Inasmuch as God is good and the fount of all being, he does not produce moral or physical deformity. Therefore, such deformity is not real, but is illusion, the mirage of error. Divine science reveals these grand facts. On their basis, Jesus demonstrated life, never fearing nor obeying error in any form. Man in science is neither young nor old. He has neither birth nor death. The error of thinking that we are growing old and the benefits of destroying that illusion are illustrated in a sketch from the history of an Englishwoman published in the London Medical Magazine called The Lancet. Disappointed in love in her early years, she became insane and lost all account of time. Believing that she was still living in the same hour which parted her from her lover, taking no note of years, she stood daily before the window watching for her lover's coming. In this mental state, she remained young. Having no consciousness of time, she literally grew no older. Some American travelers saw her when she was 74 and supposed her to be a young woman. She had no care-lined face, no wrinkles, nor gray hair, but youth sat gently on cheek and brow. Asked to guess her age, those unacquainted with her history conjectured that she must be under 20. She could not age while believing herself young, for the mental state governed the physical. Impossibilities never occur. One instance, like the foregoing, proves it possible to be young at 74, and the primary of that illustration makes it plain that decrepitude is not according to law, nor is it a necessity of nature, but an illusion. The infinite never began, nor will it ever end. Mind and its formations can never be annihilated. Man is not a pendulum swinging between evil and good, joy and sorrow, sickness and health, life and death. The measurement of life by solar years robs youth and gives ugliness to age. The radiant sun of virtue and truth coexists with being. Manhood is its eternal noon, undimmed by a declining sun. As the physical and material, the transient sense of beauty fades. The radiance of spirit should dawn upon the enraptured sense with bright and imperishable glories. Never record ages. Chronological data are no part of the vast forever. Timetables of birth and death are so many conspiracies against manhood and womanhood. Except for the error of measuring and limiting all that is good and beautiful, man would enjoy more than 70 years and still maintain his vigor, freshness, and promise. Man, governed by immortal mind, is always beautiful and grand. Each succeeding year unfolds wisdom, beauty, and holiness. We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing, based upon its divine principle love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer. Let's now sing hymn number 188. No eye hath seen, nor tongue declared, nor hath it entered heart of man, to know what God hath here prepared for them that love and trust his plan. Hymn number 188. Let's now sing hymn number 264. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hymn number 264.
From the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.